Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome in. This is Lock It In with Cam Rogers right here on the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. And we have a big time professional here on the program, a friend of mine. Can't wait to catch up with him right here on the show. Kofi Yeboah, producer and content creator. You can follow him on Twitter at Kofi, K-O-F-I-E. He is a good follow. What's going on, man?
I'm doing all right. Life is great. Just kicking at Secret Base, have some extra gigs here and there. It's just been really fun all around.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about your professional life here. Obviously our friendship generated from going to the University of Maryland, but we haven't talked too much since then. And so I kind of want to hear how things are going. No. Obviously I see you on social and all that jazz.
Yeah. So when I graduated 2017, you were a speaker.
Yes.
You were our speaker, yes.
Yes.
I graduated 2017 and I worked social media for SB Nation for about 2 years. In 2018, I started my own YouTube channel where it was called Kofi Y. I did that for a year because I really wanted to be on the video team at SB Nation. So after a year, they were recruiting me and said that John Boyes is getting his own little video team and it's going to be you and Alex Rubenstein. And I said, oh, yes, absolutely. So then John and I started getting cooking and we decided to come up with a show called Fumble Dimension, where we try to break sports video games. It's kind of like that we make the Twilight Zone, but for video games, where it's a long kind of narrative 30 to 40 minute video game experiment. So I've been doing that since, June of 2019. And since then, we've made about 10 episodes and more are definitely on the way.
Yeah, that seems to be a big part of your brand, playing retro video games. And it's so interesting how people just love watching that stuff. And it makes sense. I mean, you see the growth with esports and what have you, right?
And it makes a lot of sense because the sports video game landscape now is really kind of bare bones compared to what it was back in the past. Right. You know, if you go to a lot of the old EA Sports games from before 2010, you see all these series and they had these features, they were experimenting, they were trying to add and subtract new things. And at this point, now that we're in this kind of modernized console kind of thing, there is a lot of just, we want to make as much money as possible. We want to do these loot boxes. We want to do these pay to win kind of strategies. And it's easy to go back into these older games where those didn't exist, where these games were just made with they were action packed with all these different features and modes. And so sometimes when you want to play a game mode that doesn't exist anymore, you have to go back to these older games. So,
you know, it's interesting. You mentioned how the landscape has changed and I'm just thinking about NFL Blitz, right? And was it Slugfest, the baseball game that you could punch the guys and all that?
Yeah, I think
people loved those games. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have that anymore.
Yeah, you don't really. You have like a couple, but they're like in the tier between them of terms of like how many people play them is like so far apart where it's not like commonly known, but it's like, oh, you can also play this game.
We'll get your thoughts on your favorite retro games later here in the program. I want to touch upon how you have rapidly grown your social media. I want to ask you in the sense that it's really cool. And also I want to learn from you. So tell me about, you know, just the proliferation of your brand, Kofi, overall.
Okay, so TikTok, so sorry, I'll start with Twitter, actually.
Yeah.
Twitter, I think that story starts with about 2015, 2016, where I didn't really go out as much in terms of, like, compared to, like, freshman, sophomore year. My junior year, I was kind of just, like, staying home. And then I was like, okay, let me take Twitter a little bit more seriously because I had under 1,000 followers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I was, and they were all like friends from high school or friends from college, and it was all okay. So then I learned how to make memes. And I know that saying that you learned how to make memes is not really that, like, it's weird. It's like, how do you learn how to make, you just do them, right? And I learned Photoshop. So I learned how to, like, make these, like, special memes where you'd have, like, sports characters yelling, you'd put, like, the Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan hair over them, or just certain things like that, simple memes that, like, I realized that those kind of traveled further, and the more I made those, the more I kind of got recognized for that kind of thing. And also just, like, asking a lot of questions on Twitter at first. There was there are these, like, threads, these question threads, and whenever I'd ask them, they would go, like, super viral, and that's where I got most of my followers then. And after that, it was just, like, trying new things, always switching things up. You know, it's been 6-7 years, so the stuff that I tried in 2015, 2016, people would be tired of.
Right.
So it's all about, like, adjusting, adapting, and then just, like, throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks, really.
Well, I think it's timing, too, right? When you throw up these memes, there is timing to it. Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. There's always this, you know, how in breaking news, you always want to, I mean, a lot of people either want to be the first or the first accurate, you know, and in memes, it's whoever's the first with the best joke, it will usually travel the farthest. Or sometimes everybody, like, thinks the same joke, but whoever's the fastest to that joke, that will travel, like, the farthest. So it's also, like, that kind of timing. The quick on the draw that I've been able to learn because I use Twitter on my computer mostly. So it allows me to just, like, copy like any image I want from Google directly on the Twitter desktop client. Whereas if you use your phone, it's a little bit, like, slower. So even that, like, window of opportunity, it's, like, so small, but it does matter.
And I'm sure that you've noticed people out there trying to do the same thing you are doing, right? Who can be the funniest in this moment? It's almost like an arms race, right?
Yeah, yeah. And there are people that are, like, even better than me at this. Like, there's Josiah Johnson, who has, like, just a Rolodex. King Josiah 54. He has just a Rolodex of, like, hilarious memes and stuff like that. And, you know, all these brands are starting to become more aware and start to hire people that are really in touch with, like, good tweets, good memes, having a good pulse on what people are talking about, and just having a pulse on what's cool. And I think that goes to the brands that have the awareness of being like, okay, if we want our content, we first need to get the attention of the entire big group that is the Twitter sphere.
You know, it's so interesting seeing the proliferation of Twitter and personalities and how you can just make one out of yourself. And that's the beauty of that platform, along with others like TikTok, which, by the way, when I watch TikTok and you on it, I've never told you this, I laugh out loud. I think you're hilarious because you're, like, a not loud funny. Like, I don't like loud funny. I like, you know, David Spade, like, calm, like, you know, deadpan funny, I think is the phrase. Dry sense of humor.
And that's also been me throughout my entire content creation space. Yeah. Like when I make a fumble dimension, I'm not out here yelling and that, cause that's not me in terms of a creator space. Now, if I'm at like a karaoke night, I might be like yelling or like having like laughing out loud or whatever, but that's because I'm like organically enjoying the company of my friends and the environment. Right. Whereas if I'm alone in my house, I'm not going to just yell, because that just feels uncomfortable to me. Because I'm like, who am I doing this for? This is not who I usually am. So I kind of have just been like, okay, this is who I am. I'm going to just be like, okay, we don't need to yell. As long as I get my point across, people will understand. Maybe they'll think it's funny. Maybe they think it isn't. And I'm not talking down on like the energetic creator where it's right. Like, oh, this is the best thing ever. Like that enthusiasm is also necessary. Like that enthusiasm is also like, there is a demographic. There is people that want to feel excited about every and anything. It's just that I can't do that because I just feel so awkward.
It's not you. It's not me either, really. Yeah. I feel that. I want to talk to you about just the growth overall of the sports media space. Of course, we went to Philip Merrill College of Journalism. You know, I think the path that the education system there put you on was obviously hard news or hard sports news, going to a local TV station and working your way up. And obviously we learned, you know, since then that you can kind of be entrepreneurial like you are in regards to creating your own brand and not necessarily going the local TV news route, but maybe the digital route or something like that. And so, you know, thinking back to 2017, Kofi, I mean, things have changed big time.
Things have changed so much. Things were changing when we were even in college.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you know, and I remember, you know, growing up, you know, you would think about ESPN or maybe Fox Sports. And by the time we got to college, there were so many other new sites that kind of blossomed into what they are now, you know,
right?
Like a Bleacher Report, like a SB Nation, like I wasn't gonna, as a 4-year-old kid, I wasn't gonna be like, oh, I wanted to write for Bleacher Report or SB Nation, because that didn't exist yet, you know? And then with the explosion of The Athletic, the Players Tribune, there are all these new there are all these new sites that just show up. And then, you know, you have Defector now, I work at Secret Base, that didn't exist when I was in college. So that's another thing where it's good that there are all these outlets that are being able now to find support in a non-traditional route. And I think that the Merrill College has done a great job of adapting that in terms of like fixing and changing, because, you know, they've hired some of our former classmates to like come back and teach, which is really good self-awareness, because, you know, this landscape is always rapidly changing and whatever and whatnot. So, you know, it's not the usual, like you work at the same place for 40 years at the same paper and then that's
certainly
it. No,
yeah.
that's not really like what's happening anymore. But the change means that there's always these new and fresh and exciting things that are popping up, and it's always going to pique interest because people always want sports news. And there's always going to be sports news to be looked at, or sports media or sports entertainment or some form, because that's always going to be around.
It's so interesting. And it's what makes me excited about the sports betting space in particular, and my latching on to that and becoming a voice, you know, on TV and radio as somebody to have on to talk about betting and golf betting and what have you. So I'm really excited about that. You're really excited about, you know, the interest in retro video games and memes and the great content that you put out there. It's so great to see everybody in our class really latch on to that, but also do fantastically in the typical TV radio space as well. So,
Absolutely.
There is a path for everybody. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's pivot. Let's talk about your Bengals here, my man. Truth be told, when I first got to know you, I think one of the first things was the fact that you were a Bengals fan. And I was like, who the hell is this kid? Where is he from? Man. Cincinnati? So they started off pretty good, right? And they beat my Baltimore Ravens. And so I was thinking, okay, this is legit. And then they go ahead and lay an egg in East Rutherford, New Jersey against the Jets, Kofi. What do we make of this squad?
I have no idea how good the Bengals are. Okay. I have looked like game by game. It is just incredibly. When they blew out the Ravens, I was like, oh, wow, this is like, I was not expecting this. I was expecting a usual, you know, AFC like 19-17 somehow. The score is that like kind of matchup. But then the Bengals didn't falter in the second half. And I thought that that was a turning point, because watching those first couple of games where the Bengals kind of eked out a win, it was kind of really stressful because, you know, Zach Taylor just raises your blood pressure when you watch him. And then I was about to be like, okay, we're like 5-2 or 5-something. And then we're like, okay, we're about to get 6
AFC supremacy. Like, that was the narrative.
Right. And it was like, okay. And you know the AFC North, there is zero margin for error in the AFC North. Like, there was that tie, that Steelers-Lions tie is going to be important. And you just know it, because you've seen in the past where all these ties where it's like, oh, 9-7, and it's like 9-6-1. Okay, we're in the playoffs, whatever. But then losing not only to the Jets, but to Mike White, it was his debut, right? His like starting debut. It's like I think he threw for over 400 passing yards on us. It was, and you just look at the game and you're like, what happened? Are you kidding me? And then the Browns, it looks like they're all in dire straits, right? Yeah. They get rid of OBJ. OBJ and Baker aren't doing well. There's a drama. Nope, we get blown out by them too. Like, it's like I do not know. I know the ceiling of this team. I just do not know if they're going to live up to it. And especially in the AFC North, where everybody can beat. This is literally a division where everybody can beat everybody.
And yeah, we're going to cannibalize each other in this division. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, whoever gets to 9 wins first, like, probably will be fine. But like, and now that the playoff seeds have expanded, right?
Yep.
There's a potential that 3 AFC North teams could make the playoffs. Like, that's possible, because all these teams are pretty good. But we do spend a lot of time beating up on each other. But, you know, I hold out hope, and I think that I want to see this as an overachievement. I see this because I don't think we expected this quick of a turnaround, in that people were like taking the Bengals a little bit more seriously than we were. Just like, oh, 2 or 3 more years, Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase will like get their chemistry back. No, they got it back right away. Mm-hmm. And we, of course, we have some O-line issues to discuss, but like, these weapons, the weapons that are being brought up right now, I'm more than satisfied with that. I'm more than satisfied with them, honestly.
Yeah, the skill position right now for the Bengals, fantastic. Joe Mixon, T. Higgins down the line, Ja'Marr Chase, of course. So Joe Burrow is the guy, obviously. I'm sure you can agree with that. You seem to me to be a very rational Bengals fan. You're not a homer by any means. It seems like, to a degree, you have very low expectations every single season, and you hope to be surprised.
I think I've loved that about me since I've gotten to college, because I know that, I don't know if you knew this, but when I grew up in North Carolina, I was a Duke fan, because my dad went to Duke. And when I got to Maryland, I did not know that like Maryland was like, Duke is our number one rival. I didn't know that. Because Duke always is like, oh, North Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest, we got to focus on it. Now, Duke and Maryland always had great games, but then, you know, like, it was back to North Carolina, NC State, Wake Forest. So when I got to University of Maryland, I was like, yeah, I was a Duke fan. And then everyone was like, ooh. And I was like, okay, let me just give this up. So Duke basketball was the only like real team where I was like really biased, because I had to win like lunch table arguments. You know, you went to school with Carolina, NC State fans. But like my other teams, I didn't care about that. I was like, okay, yeah, you know, the Pistons are going to win 29 games today. I mean, 29 games this season. That's fine. We are constantly rebuilding. The Bengals, you know, yeah. But like, and then the Mets, you know, it's like, wait till July, wait till after the All-Star break, the collapse is coming. Like, you know what, if you know the inevitable, you're not going to just like be like, oh no, this time's going to be different. Because the more you just learn all over and over. So yeah, Duke basketball was the only one where I was like irrational sports fan. But then after that, I just like dropped Duke basketball and was just like, okay, I'm a Maryland basketball fan now. So now it's more of a level, like.
Right. Yeah. Just equilibrium, baseline, normal. It's all good. You know, it's interesting. You talk about Duke. You know, I came from New Hampshire to go to the University of Maryland. So I had, in theory, a year to develop this hatred for Duke, which I never really did. I didn't really understand it because, like, it almost felt manufactured in a way because, like, Duke didn't think of us that way, as you were saying. So,
right.
I mean, it seems like a bit of a stretch for us to think about it that way because they don't think about it the same way we do. So I don't know. It was always a funky thing. Then we went to the Big Ten and that was that.
I think it took like maybe 3 weeks for me to get it. It took 3 weeks for me to get it in term. No, sorry, not 3 weeks. It took the last ACC Maryland Duke when it went to like the last shot.
Yeah.
And for a lot of Maryland fans, I saw the anger because that was Maryland fans knew that that was the last Maryland Duke basketball matchup that they were going to like have scheduled like potentially forever. Mm-hmm. I don't know if like when Coach K goes, they'll probably like maybe schedule them again. Who knows? But like Duke hasn't played. I don't think Duke has played them in the ACC Big Ten Challenge yet. And that's like a big deal. And that seems like a kind of targeted thing. But I do understand. But like also Maryland doesn't really have I don't really know who Maryland's like biggest rival is, honestly.
We've been like searching since we entered the Big Ten. Like
Penn State,
yeah,
maybe. But like then there's Rutgers, then there's like, you know, it's just I feel like all of these Big Ten rivalries have been cemented so far that this is just way too fresh, way too new. Maybe like in the decades to come we'll have like a solid one, but
well, I want to stay on that theme since we're talking about Maryland right now and ask you about Maryland football, which, let's be real, has been a punchline for as long as we can remember. And so the typical thing happens. We start 4-0, right? Yep. And then we get throttled by Iowa. And then we've won one game since. So we're probably going to beat Rutgers and then get bowl eligible. So that's great. But like, yeah, we're just stuck in neutral, it seems.
Yeah. And it's like it's the cycle because, you know, Maryland does this thing where, you know, we beat Howard by like 70 points.
Yeah.
It's like that is a tradition unlike any other. Beat Howard by 70 points. And then, cause I remember Iowa, people thought that this was the year. We had a lot of alumni, a lot of our former classmates to be like, oh, this is my first Maryland home game since I graduated, because they really, really believed in, that this was the season, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, getting throttled by Iowa with like multiple interceptions, it just reminds us that like no matter how much we try, no matter how many fancy new facilities we build on campus, no matter like how much money, it just seems like we're just stuck behind these Big Ten like football programs, because I feel like we're a basketball school that tries to be a football school so much.
So and true.
It's really wild. Like, it's really like when we were there, I was like, I don't know why all this like focus is on football when our soccer team is the most fun experience at Maryland. It's the most fun fan experience, like by far.
Yeah.
And then you have basketball, which is like, oh, this is great. And then like football, we had a thing where everyone like left at halftime, no matter what the score was.
That was the tradition right there.
That's a known thing. If that's a known thing, I'm so sorry, but.
And Van Pelt gets mad about it, but it's like, Scott, I mean, we need to put a better product on the field first for people to want to stay. I understand like diehard loyalty and all that, but people have studying or going to the bars to do, I guess.
Yeah, we have bars to go to.
We're rolling events.
It's Saturday. I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of watching whatever's happening on the football field. Want to quickly get to some general NFL storylines here. I want to ask you about the return of Cam Newton, because this seems like a really interesting intersection happening here for the Carolina Panthers, where maybe they're starting to turn the tide and become a contender again. At the beginning of the year, it seems like they were, and then Sam Darnold started to be Sam Darnold again. And then in comes Cam Newton, and he did his thing last week in an upset victory over the Arizona Cardinals. Sounds like he's going to start this week against Washington. So he's back. What do you think about the Panthers this year?
I'm so happy that Cam Newton is back. It's just something that about Cam Newton in that Panthers jersey that is just like, yes,
It
I
looks
get it.
right,
And
doesn't it?
it looks so right. It's
Yeah.
just like, and it's good to see him like come home, and it's good to see that they were welcoming him home. It was the New England year was odd because it was just a lot in flux, and then it goes to the Patriots draft a quarterback, Cam, for health it reasons doesn't want to it, he got like the Patriots made the right choice, don't get me wrong. It was just like there's too much attention to it. The Patriots definitely made the right choice, and it's just being like, Mac, it's your time.
Yeah.
So Cam gets time to like get right, and then he's waiting for an opportunity, and now he's in a place where like he knows the arena, he knows the area, maybe he feels more at home. It's a new coach, new coach, probably I had to guess new system, and it's not like the old Ron Rivera Cam do stuff like kind of thing. Hopefully
Off
it's a new
script.
kind of
Yeah.
yeah hopefully it's a new kind of like thing. So I mean it's a couple of like couple of games, get his feet wet, and I think that I don't know the NFC South standings right now, but I have
Well,
to check.
yeah, I think the Saints are right behind the Bucks right now. It's pretty log
Oh yeah.
jammy though. Like, it's pretty tight.
Yeah. I mean there's a potential there, so
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Interesting
yeah.
division indeed. Going to the AFC here, the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. What did you make of Mahomes' early season struggles, or at least turnovers, shall we say? And what you saw on Sunday night against the Raiders, because people are saying the Chiefs are back. Are they
I
back?
think that, it just took, maybe it was just like some new stuff. I just like maybe Patrick Mahomes was just trying like new things or like trying to adjust, He's always been that very experimental kind of player. And, maybe he changes, maybe he doesn't, but like his over his long career, over like if you look at the all of his career, like the experiments have worked. Like the experimental stuff has worked. Throw left-handed, throw a no-look pass.
Yeah.
Like it's usually worked in the past. It looks so cool. And the first couple of games it didn't, and the Chiefs also had some like defensive issues. So I think that Mahomes has kind of gotten a little bit more calculated, and he hasn't, I feel like he has stopped trying to do too much. Like I don't like, but that I think that Mahomes, like a calculated Mahomes, but also with the like making the throws that only he can make. I think there was maybe just a level of like Mahomes thinking that he could do everything all the time. Because of course mistakes are going to happen, but
Right.
like that's the price you pay for like trying to like do the unthinkable, like we Favre used to do that. That's why he has
Sure.
like Favre had so many interceptions, but it also paid off really well. Mahomes is that same way, and I think that they'll probably get like they'll be right by the time it's like necessary, Like I don't think they're like really scared. Like if I know that if the Chiefs, they had like multiple comeback victories in their Super Bowl run. Like they're I don't think they're really fazed by this.
Yeah, and they're always in it because you could have Mahomes throw the football 55 times and you have a shot, right? So
Yeah.
that's the thing with them.
You have so much speed all around. Like
Yeah.
I knowing if a team that knows that they can turn it on or like that they have the potential to turn it on at any time is like so dangerous.
Yeah. And it certainly looks like they are turning it on right now. We'll see what happens for the rest of the season with them. All right, we teased it earlier in the show, Kofi. You're obviously a big video game guy. I'm a big nostalgia guy. Next week is one of my favorite weeks of the year, Thanksgiving week and all that good stuff. Get to see everybody from home. So, the task for you, your top five retro video games. You can go ahead and just rattle them off if you want. I'm really curious about this.
Do they have to be sports?
Do not have to be sports.
Okay, let's see here. We're gonna go with we're gonna put a Mario Kart in there. It's
Of
gonna be
course.
Double Dash. Gonna be
Okay.
Mario Kart Double Dash. If we're gonna do a baseball game, I'm going to do I'm gonna do ESPN MLB 2K5.
Okay.
I think that, you know, everyone goes with MVP baseball.
That's what I was thinking.
Also, but ESPN, I just played ESPN MLB 2K5 yesterday, and I realized that I had put so much time into that. The pitching mechanics in that, the presentation, the color commentary. Oh, it's just, it's just such a good game. For football, we're going to go with, you know, ESPN NFL 2K5 as well. So that's three.
So no Madden. Wow. All right.
I will put I'll put Madden 2007 in there.
Okay.
Madden, if we're going football, Madden 2007, the soundtrack, all the game modes, and you had the highlight stick. It was just like perfect. I remember I used to, well, there's also the Wii version was not bad either. Like I had like both versions. The Wii version actually like wasn't bad. Okay, so my last one, I gotta go with a basketball game here. Let's go with, we're gonna go with NBA, let's see, NBA Ballers. I'm gonna go Ballers. NBA Ballers. Yeah.
What
NBA
year is Ballers. That?
Oh, it's, I think it's 2006, okay. And it was a very fun game. It was like NBA Street, but if it was just like one-on-one half court. And it's a really, really, really great rendition. There's so much replay value in that game. I can go back and play it. Have a great old time. one of the best and most complete basketball games.
Double Dash instead of N64, huh? Okay.
I never played N64.
Oh,
I never
okay.
had one. Right. That's why I remember. That's why I emailed you. I was like, yeah, I think we might need to. I don't have an N64.
Let's switch up
I've
the topic.
Never had it. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like N64. Sense. I'd be like GoldenEye. I've never played it. But like it's like certain games. It's like, you know, I never. My first console was a regular Xbox.
Okay.
That was my first console. So I was maybe like 2004, 2005. I was 10, and I'm an only child. So that was like the first time like I had to buy like get a console bought for me. It wasn't like my older brothers had an N64 right. or SNES or anything like that. So I do need to get well versed in those older consoles. There are three video game shops in New York that I can go to that have these consoles, but you know the prices are going to run a little bit high because they're rare. So
yeah, absolutely. In fact, I splurged for an N64 in the peak of the pandemic not too long ago, and haven't played much of it lately, so it's one of those impulse purchases. Collecting dust.
We all had those.
Yeah,
there's no shame in that.
Yeah, exactly.
Purchase. That's a great purchase.
Yeah, you know, eventually I'm gonna want to dabble a little bit when I'm bored or something like that, you know.
Absolutely.
All right, so obviously, you know, this is a betting show, and so I have to ask you, do you have any best bets here for this weekend? Perhaps something on the Bengals, maybe in the NBA. Let me know what you have.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, I am so like not well versed in like the betting. I want to learn so much more. Like they're like, I'm trying to like the
and you'll
over,
be even
under,
more correct
the lines.
Than me.
Yeah.
It won't even matter.
All right. What are your best bets? How about we do that and I'll see if I agree.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah. I'll give a couple because I'm going to give them all in a separate episode. So I don't want to tell the audience everything. Okay. But I will say that I like the Carolina Panthers -3.5 against the Washington football team. I think the Panthers can easily win that game by 7 points, 8 points. Washington played well against Tampa Bay, but we know how inconsistent they can be. Washington is 1-4 against the spread in their last five games. You've got Cam and McCaffrey together. I think it's going to be fantastic. So I think they cover in that one. I like the Bills -7 against the Indianapolis Colts. The Bills looked great against the Jets a week ago. And the Colts really don't do anything amazing. So I don't know if they can keep pace with Buffalo's offense. So those are a couple plays there. Let me know what you think.
I do like the idea of Cam and McCaffrey like being together. I think they only got like a glimpse of that when they were playing together back before Cam left.
Yeah.
I do really like that. I think that the Panthers are going to beat the Washington football team by more than a field goal. I believe that this is like the beginning of a turn of events for the Panthers, and I think that the Washington football team. I think that like you know, they're going to ride high and probably take their foot off the gas when they see the Panthers.
A letdown.
Because they just beat the Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, and also it's the Washington football team. Like, nothing good happens to them 2 weeks in a row. So.
Right. You're asking too much there. By the way, the Bengals are -1 favorites on the road against the Raiders. Where are you going with that one?
I'm gonna take that. I'm gonna take the Bengals.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm gonna have that. I believe in some good this week.
Well, look, the Raiders have enough distractions right now. So who knows how they're even gonna play a football game. Like, it's pretty impressive that they even are out there competing with what's going on. So yeah, I think the Bengals can bounce back this week, no doubt about it. Kofi Aboah joining Lock It In with Cam Rogers, producer and content creator. Check him out, a fantastic follow at Kofi KOFIE. Kofi, thank you so much, man, for taking some time, catching up. Hope to chat with you soon.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Always a great time.
Always.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.